Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Continuing, even though we have some interesting times we're in, but maybe it's a great time to start planning your estate. So much estate planning that goes by the wayside, but maybe you have more time right now. A lot of people do. A lot of people at home, Paul.
That's right.
And they're thinking about these issues maybe more seriously for the first time or for the first time, period. And you're talking this week, continuing the discussion on the idea of the power of attorney.
Right. Very critical part of your estate plan. It is something that protects you during your lifetime, because all power of attorneys end if somebody dies. And so therefore, a power of attorney is utilized to protect you. And Mark, you talked about at the beginning there that there is a lot more time on our hands, and right now could be a perfect time to actually begin this process and begin the discussion. Well, I just want people to know that we have the ability to assist you still. It's not going to be in person. So if you have a computer and the ability to communicate with us, we can set up a completely online system to start this process. So I encourage you, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. And contact us and let us know that you're there and want to start this process to discuss what does it mean to have a will, a trust, and these very critical power of attorneys, because they are intended to protect you. As a matter of fact, the main job of a power of attorney is to ensure that all of your needs are taken care of, both financially. So in other words, use your finances properly. Or if you're having a medical emergency, ensure that someone has the ability to communicate with doctors and make medical decisions on your behalf. So those are the two most common. There's also a mental health power of attorney. There's access to medical records we need. There's an end-of-life document, so that if indeed the attempts to recover your health are unsuccessful, well, how long would you want to be on life support? So all of these documents work cooperatively to ensure that your voice is heard during your lifetime to protect you, or if you pass away, what has to happen with what you do have left over. So the power of attorneys are a critical, critical component to everything that we are doing. But we're going to talk a little bit about a different area of a power of attorney, which is usually and oftentimes a person wants to ensure that their estate can be utilized to assist others, not just themselves. So the legal premise that we have to understand about a power of attorney is that everything that an agent does, in other words, the person that you give power to, everything they do must be for your best interest. Therefore, that eliminates a lot of people. I'll give you some examples. My daughters, in their young 20s, we still need to assist them on many different levels. And so if something happened to my wife and I, and one of us was alive, do you think that we would still want to ensure that our young 20-year-old daughters are still financially taken care of? And well, our answer personally is absolutely. And so therefore, if a power of attorney, remember the legal premise is take care of Paul and Mariana and don't worry about anyone else. Well, that's a shortcoming in most power of attorneys, which is there's other people that we want to ensure are safe, even if I can't make my own decisions over my finances. So we need to talk about what does it mean for a really good power of attorney to consider others, and what are some of the boundaries and how do we do this? And so one of the ways we do it is with the term gifting. So I just want to set up today's show.
Which is today's show, Gifting Powers.
That's right. So I want to set up today's show, which is number one, the legal premise is that we can only take care of you. Number two is that we still oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes want to take care of other people, and we can do that through a term called gifting. So in other words, the ability for the agent to utilize your money and gift it to somebody else. So if you were going to come in to my office and say, Paul, I just think you're a swell guy, and I want to give you $10. Well, that's a gift, is it not? So that's exactly what we're talking about, is what boundaries do we have for an agent to be able to gift your money at a time when you are no longer making your decisions? So there's the couple premises that we have to talk about for today's show, because this can get a little bit tricky. So I really wanted to take a moment and set up that foundation first.
You're talking about gifting, not paying bills.
Correct, because it is
paying
in your
bills is a different, like, yeah. Obligations that need to be paid are not considered gifts.
That's correct, because that's a legal obligation, and that mm-hmm. is in your best interest that you not go to bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, at least a high majority of the time, it's in your best interest. So yes, there's always the ability to take care of your legal obligations. Now, if you have minor children, they're your legal obligation, and so therefore doesn't count. We wouldn't use gifting powers when you have minors. But my children are both over the age of 18. Therefore, legally, I am not required to support them any longer. Now, my power of attorney has to have additional authority to my agent to support my children, because the premise, again, is only take care of Paul. And so we need to discuss, what does it mean to gift? And you're correct. Not your legal obligations, right? It is in my best interest that my house not go into foreclosure. So therefore, paying my mortgage, paying my property taxes, everything else are still a part of what is in my best interest and an agent would naturally have authority over. But we lose sight of a couple other things, not just children, but as a believer, I find scriptural evidence and scriptural principles that I am continue to tithe. So would it be important to me if I had income? Because remember, the power of attorney operates when I need someone else to help me. So now I'm not making my own financial decisions. Would it be important for me if I continue to tithe off of the income? I support many missionaries, and most of them are personal friends. Would it be important to Paul Grant then to continue to support those individuals? And trust you me, they would understand. But what would my decision be? Would I want them to be turned off for a period of time until I recover? Or would it be such a value that I ensure that my missionary friends still receive their necessary support from me, even though I'm not making the financial decision? So those discussions are really what come about when we talk about gifting.
Hmm. Well, okay, so you say missionaries. What other kinds of things can the gifting powers be used for?
Yeah, and so we've kind of covered adult children. What about grandchildren? Are you supporting others in your family? Missionaries. There's also ways that it works in one dichotomy or the other, which is, do we need to readjust your estate plan? So there's one of two reasons why we would need to financially readjust, which could potentially come out of this financial power of attorney, or it would come out of a well-designed trust, which one of those mechanisms. So if we were using a financial power of attorney, again, or a trust, because it would work in either of these instruments, then if you did not have much money, we may need to rearrange your money in a legal way to assist you to qualify for Medicaid. So that's an instance where someone doesn't have much money, and we need to protect what we can for their long-term use, but yet get them the necessary help that they need at that point in time. So that's another instance. The switch end of that instance is, what if I have too much money? In other words, I have money that will be exposed to taxes if I were to die. Well, there's a way that we can rearrange an estate in a legal format that assists in reducing taxes. And so a financial power of attorney, we may need to gift money into a different mechanism to accomplish that goal so that we can save taxes. Hmm. I don't know about you. I don't mind paying taxes, actually. But I don't want to pay unnecessary taxes. Estate taxes are for those who don't plan. If you plan, I can assist in saving taxes and ensure that either your beneficiaries or charities or those that you have a passion for are receiving more of what you've earned over your lifetime. So gifting powers can also be working in these categories, which is I don't have very much and I need help to preserve it, or I have a good amount, but I want to preserve it for the purposes that I've intended. Both of those would be gifting authorities to rearrange an estate. Hmm.
I was under the impression it might be a different discussion, a different show, but the whole thing with Medicaid, to receive Medicaid, you cannot be giving away a bunch of money so that you don't have to give it all to... Because if you have a lot of assets, you don't qualify for Medicaid.
That's correct.
The old wives' tale is you give away the house or give it to the kids so that the bank doesn't or the government doesn't take it so you can get Medicaid.
That's right. And so there's a thing called a five-year look-back rule. And yes, that is a very different show. Right. But there are ways that if somebody is not in managing their property for a longer period of time, we may want to make those decisions in anticipation of what's coming down the road. Mm. And so, yes, you're correct. Medicaid is that I need aid, right? That's not Medicare. Medicare is for everyone who reaches a certain age, and then the government steps in to start Social Security and gap insurance and all these other things. So that's Medicare, but Medicaid is I don't have much and I need additional aid for my support.
Yes.
So yes, it is a very complicated area, but the bottom line is that we can't do anything to assist somebody who may need that type of help if we don't have the right power of attorney language, if we don't have the right gifting language, and there is... And they're unable to make their own decisions. Because remember, that's typically when the power of attorney will kick in, is when they're not able to make their own decisions. So we need to have enough foresight to add these things in today to make sure that the power of attorney is very robust and will help us at a time when we need that assistance. The unfortunate part is that a majority of power of attorneys that I review do not have this language in it.
Hmm.
And so if you've done estate planning, I encourage you, pull out your documents, actually read it. I know. It's an amazing thing. They won't bite you. The estate plan doesn't hurt. I encourage you, pull it out. Find whether, even if you're not an attorney, you can read your own document. And you'll probably be able to find where some of this language is. Or if it's not there, or if you're not sure, well, that's why we're here. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, communicate with us. We have the ability to assist you still. Now, it'll be remotely. It won't be face-to-face. So during this time that we're unable to meet face-to-face, we want to honor and respect that. So therefore, we've set up an entire different system to continue to assist you. We'd love to be able to look over what you currently have, talk about these things, and if you need further assistance to make fine-tuned changes or even start a plan, then head over to legacyandfaith.com. We're here for you. We want to be an assistance to you.
Okay, legacyandfaith.com. Again, for more details, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at the power of attorney and the gifting powers of the power of attorney. And we're talking about the different ways that this can be used. And the thing that maybe some people are concerned about is, well, can then the agent make gifts to themselves? Can they just then raid your bank account?
Right.
Or it gives a lot of power in this power of attorney.
It really does. And that's a very good question. And I agree. It does create a need to have a very strong discussion concerning this area. And so oftentimes, so the answer is maybe, because every question or every answer you get from an attorney is maybe. Mm. So can the agent just simply take everything? Well, no.
You hear horror stories about that.
You do. Yeah. And that's what we need to protect against. And so that's what good counseling hopefully will bring to the forefront is, What does this relationship look like? Have they been steady? Is there accountability measures around this person? And in this area, some individuals would say, you know what? If little Joey is in charge of my finances, I allow little Joey to continue to support the church, my missionaries, and rearrange things with my estate. But I don't want little Joey to be making gifts to himself or to his siblings. I want to limit that gifting power. And that could be a measurably wise decision. Now, however, some people may say, oh, no, little Joey. No, he, as a matter of fact, little Joey is the person who is already on my bank account and has been for years and has always assisted us. And we have a very strong family unit. And so maybe instead of taking away the power for your agent to gift to family, maybe we add in clauses that says when it's approved by the family, when it's approved by all siblings, and that we almost create a committee on the gifting if it's going out to other people. And then in following through with that, it's, well, what if somebody has a medical emergency? Would that be an appropriate reason that you would want someone else to have access to your finances? So again, I'll use myself as an example. If I was not managing my financial affairs and one of my daughters had a medical emergency, would I want my agent to utilize my finances to assist my daughter in a medical emergency? Now, Paul Grant's answer would be yes. That does not have to be everyone else's answers. I have plenty of clients who say, no, if I am not managing my money, and then I need to utilize what finances I have for my purposes first. And the kids are able to manage their own, or they'll have other people, other resources to help them. That could be a perfectly excellent, perfect answer. Okay,
but that might be unlikely because a lot of parents do want to help their kids.
They do, but notice, this is the question.
Mm.
This is why we need to sit down, not face to face, and talk these things out. Mm. We need to have the discussion, and a good estate planning attorney will have these discussions with their clients to ensure that we're reaching the right conclusion. Some people would say no. We have enough for ourselves, or no, we want to be conservative with our finances. Others would say, no, I want to continue to be for others to be able to utilize it. The question is, we don't know until we ask the question and get it on the table. So there are ways to ensure that if your agent is a part or has the authority to gift things to themselves, that indeed we can use other voices to make sure that they're acting properly so that they can't just go in and start picking off stuff and that there's no accountability. Mm. The document, when it's done well, can have accountability. Remember, that document can be a power of attorney or it can be a trust. I prefer utilizing these things inside of a trust, but that doesn't mean that they cannot be added to a good financial power of attorney as well.
So should it be, this power be in every trust and will, or is it sometimes when you wouldn't want to have this power part of your trust?
Yeah, there. So for a lot of clients that don't have strong family structures, where someone else, where a family member, but we're not sure of their financial capabilities, then we may want to turn off these gifting powers to a large extent.
Okay.
And so it really is family by family situation. And now there could be some other safety that if you needed a professional fiduciary. So there are companies that act as power of attorneys, as agents. There are trust companies that are built and designed just to manage your trust, whether you're alive or whether you've passed away. And so it's really important to give those agencies really strong instructions. They have a very, very difficult time when the language is templated and very basic. So if you're trying to do this off of the internet, I beg of you, please don't. This entire discussion really needs an attorney's guidance to make the right decisions. That's just an opinion. But as a matter of fact, most power of attorneys off the internet are not even going to have this language or this option. And so, yes, it is a very detailed, a very sophisticated power, in my opinion, but it really needs to be talked about. And that's really the bottom line. Yeah. We got to have the discussion. We got to understand your predicament, your family, who do you care about, and how would you want your finances used if you're no longer in control of them? There are options to ensure that other people can be protected and utilize your finances if that is your heart's desire. And that is the bottom line. If it's your heart's desire, we can design it. And if it's not, then that may be the perfect decision for you. But we got to have the conversation. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and communicate with us so that we can get this ball rolling and we can take a look at your documents. We can do everything by video now. And so we don't need to meet in person. We're still here. We're still available to get this thing moving forward with your estate plan.
Strange times we're in right now, and so much is done through video and remote. But, today on the radio, you want to do a little remote encouragement for these strange times.
Yeah, that's right. I really want to take a time at the end of each show and give us a couple thoughts just to encourage our faith. Encourage us as believers. So it's great that we can talk about power of attorneys, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to speak to your heart and encourage you that God is good. God is very good. And I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 4, where Elijah meets the widow. And at the very beginning of chapter 4, the widow comes to Elijah and says, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." So number one is that he was a servant to Elijah. So he was a man of God. "And now I owe too much money. His debts are at my doorstep, and my sons are going to be taken away." So understand that her sons were her livelihood. So everything was about to be taken away from her, and there was no hope for her to actually live, not just make it, but to actually live. Now, I know that there's many of you who might be in this exact predicament to where you've lost your job. Finances are going down. How are we going to make mortgage payments and everything else? Well, I want you to hear what the result was for Elijah. He said, "What can I do for you?" But he moves on very quickly and says, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And the woman said, "I have nothing but a jar of oil." And Elijah gave a specific word. Now, remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was upon the prophets. The Holy Spirit did not live within each of us like he does now, based upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So back then, the only way that someone heard the voice of God was to hear it from a prophet. Now we have a new covenant, which is the Holy Spirit in us, and he speaks to us in that small, still voice. And so now, more than ever, My encouragement to you is to lean in to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. So the prophet, or we could say, in today's new covenant, the Holy Spirit is going to give specific instructions when we tune our ear. So notice how the woman came into the presence of the prophet and had a heart to listen, not only just to listen, but the instructions were go out and get as many jars as you can. And so then she and her sons immediately went to work. I find that for many Christians, we hear something that we think is from the Holy Spirit, but then we don't act immediately. My encouragement to you is tune your ear to the Holy Spirit and ask the question, how can I make it through this time when it's difficult? The Holy Spirit has your answer. God is good. He wants you to continue to move forward. In a time of no hope, Elijah gave an answer of absolute hope. And we know the story that the oil started, and not until every single jar was full did the oil stop. And then they were able to go out and sell the oil, and they had more than enough to pay off the debts and to continue to live. So go sell the oil, pay what you owe. You and your sons can live on the rest. Do you know that God has a very specific plan for you? But until you turn your ear towards him, it is impossible for you to hear it. And so my encouragement is that just like Elijah, the Holy Spirit is ready to give you a word specifically for you that will lead you to a place of safety, to where you will not be overtaken. God is good, and he is a shield around you, has your answer. My encouragement for you today is turn your ear towards him. The Holy Spirit resides within you, and his voice will become clear for you to take your next step, but then do it quickly. God is passionately in love with you. He's got a great plan for you. Turn your ear towards him.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant, the leader of the Legacy in Faith show. Of course, the Legacy in Faith website, legacyinfaith.com, for more details about estate planning and any of the issues you heard on today's show. You can set up a meeting online remotely through the legacyinfaith.com website. Always great stuff. Legacy in Faith show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy in Faith show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyinfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy in Faith show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.